Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. It's a podcast packed with radio people this week as we take you to the London Palladium for the Audio and Radio Industry Awards 2020. We've got ARIA's red carpet chat with the likes of Scott Mills, Jeremy Vine and Matthew Wright. And then later you'll hear the winners of 20 of the night's gold awards, including Ellis and John, Mr. Jam, Emma Barnett, Ian Lee and Station of the Year, Radio 2's outgoing boss, Lewis Carney, plus two of the station's presenters, Sarah Cox and Rylan. And if you're still here at the end of all that, of course, there'll be some nostalgia in David Lloyd's Radio Moments. Radio
Today. The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Find out how we're changing radio all over again at bionic.radio. Radio
Today. So here we are at the ARIA's and we found Julia Hartley Brewer. Well, I think since last time we spoke to you, things have probably calmed down a bit. We've gone a bit less Brexit crazy.
Well, calm down a bit. We're all going to die of coronavirus. I mean, I don't know. Which do you want to choose?
And how do you envisage things changing when you get another speech radio station in your building?
Oh, I mean, frankly, we're breeding like flies now, aren't we? I mean, you know, we're going to take on the BBC. We're going to have 1,000 BBC rivals here at News UK. It's going to go from strength to strength. We are loving it.
And of course, you're nominated tonight for Best Speech Breakfast Show. Some tough competition there.
Some very tough competition. I think we all know it's going to go to BBC Local Radio. I have to say, there's a chap at BBC Sheffield who I think is brilliant and hilarious, who's in the same category. I've got to be honest, my money's on him.
You're not too confident. You should be surely a bit more
confident. I'm going to tell you categorically right now, as I said to my husband, I'll be heading home for an early night ahead of the breakfast show tomorrow after I don't win an award tonight.
Have a good night, Julia.
Thank you.
Here's Stephanie Hurst presenting the Best Imaging Award tonight, I hear.
Yeah, I thought...
Not typecast at all.
Yeah, I get to announce the best imaging, which is jingles, of course, which I've played my fair share of them over the years.
And who are you rooting for tonight? Danny and Rosie here from The Pulse, aren't they?
Well, of course, Danny and Rosie, who I've nurtured since... Well, I put them together, so I'm kind of responsible. Rose had left Viking in Hull. Milo was moving to Breakfast. It was a bit of a no-brainer to put them together. They won Best Breakfast last year. This year they're up for Best Local Show. I think they've got a really good shot. And it's a phenomenal show. It is... They're just natural and normal. I think you look at the Pulse's radars as well. It's through the roof. Even, you know, back in the day when I was there, when it had a huge reach, I think it's the highest it's ever been.
We've been coming to these radio do's for years and years now, but it's a bit glitzy at the Palladium.
Do you know what? To have it back in London and being part of the ARIA's board and a trustee of the Radio Academy as well, to have it here at the Palladium. Did you know that Bruce Forsyth's ashes are actually varnished into the stage? So we're actually walking on the great man. So it'd be nice to see him nice.
I can't be more over the moon about this. I'm so excited. I've wanted to be nominated for this since I was like 13 years old. And me and Daisy went to the nominations party, we were hosting it. And I was like, that's great, that's amazing. Didn't think we were going to get nominated. And we got nominated. I was like, almost cried. I was like, this is fantastic. So yeah, it's just an honour to be here.
And there's people like Dottie and Zoe Ball and Dave Berry from your building up against you. So what do you think your chances are?
Listen, we were in the car on the way over and they were like, have you written a speech if you're going to win? I'm not going to bloody win. I'm going against Greg James. I'm going against Dave Berry. I'm going to get some idols of mine. I'm like, not a chance I'm gonna win this. But it's so exciting just to be here. And if we do win, it's amazing. But just to be here, just to be against the people we're against, I'm like, that for me is like lifetime achievement made.
And how's the show going? You enjoying it?
I love it. I mean, getting up at six, getting to the show for six is hard work. Really, really hard work. I feel bad for my girlfriend who's just over there. She has to put up with me every single morning at 4:30 where I'm like, oh my, no, surely not. I only just went to bed. So that's difficult. But as I said, I've wanted this since I was 13 years old. So to be here, to do a breakfast show, do the Kiss breakfast show is unbelievable. It's the best.
And it's great to see somebody who's going to go up on stage, because I know you're presenting awards. So whether you win one or not, and you've got a hoodie and a suit on.
I'm boiling. I'm absolutely boiling. I was told not to wear a hoodie because I'd be too warm. And I said, no, I think I look cool. And now I really regret it because I'm sweating. And I'm quite a sweaty guy as it is. So, like, to be... Like, look at that. Oh. It's a bloody nightmare. I'm sweating profusely. But I'll be on stage. I saw Greg at the Brit Awards. We had a drunken, oh my God, it's going to be an amazing night. So it should be a lot of fun. It's just going to be fantastic.
And from Tom in his hoodie to Paul Anthony, who's the smartest
dressed man here.
Yeah, smartest dressed person I've found so far. Describe your outfit. Who are you wearing, Paul?
Well, you know me. I just kind of like to look the rock and roll part. And I don't wear suits normally, but I saw this suit before Christmas when I was out shopping with my wife, and she was like dragging me around all these stores in shopping centre in Manchester, and I saw this suit and I thought, actually, you know what, that is quite cool, so I had to have it.
And how's the breakfast show going? Because you've been on Planet Rock Breakfast for a good number of years now.
Yeah, it's now my 9th year. It's going really well.
Figures are good?
Yeah, the radar figures are on the up. Planet Rock in general has probably, I think, got the biggest audience we've had in a long, long time, 1.2 million. And being here tonight and being nominated for Station of the Year, the third year on the run, I mean, that's an achievement in itself, you know. It's like when you look at the competition and you look at the size of the teams of the BBC stations, our entire team is probably the size of one of the BBC's breakfast teams.
Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Let's hope you win, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed indeed, and everything else.
Oh, I found Matthew Wright, and you're nominated for Best Speech Presenter.
I am. Although when I saw the lightning seeds was on the bill, and Frank Skinner is in the nomination, I think I'm wishing Frank Skinner well.
Well, you never know. It's a tight category as well, because yes. Emma Barnett, I think, is
indeed
in there too.
So. Yes, indeed. The only female representation, which is, you know, something of note.
It's a busy time in the News UK building as well. You've got another radio station launching soon.
It's a revolving door.
what's going on? Because you were leaving and you're staying, and you're now leaving?
I have genuinely no idea. I was told my contract wasn't going to be renewed, and then 2 days later, I'm nominated for Best Speech Broadcaster. Ratings are up. If you find any of the bosses here, I'd love to hear from them.
So you think you're staying at the moment?
I've genuinely no idea.
And when's your contract up?
End of the month.
Ooh. Well, if you win tonight, I think that seals it, doesn't it?
I genuinely have no idea.
Well, good luck and keep us posted.
Thank you. I need it.
I found Nigel Williams from Jazz FM, a birthday celebrating station.
I know. 30 years today. It's lovely to be saying I'm 30. Actually, I'm enjoying that.
And they've put this big party on at the Palladium just for you guys, it seems.
It seems so. I have to tell you, earlier today at the studios, because we're in the same building as many of the other Bauer brands, so Kiss and Magic, Absolute, we actually took champagne round to them all today. And I tell you, it was, mate, this is 10 o'clock in the morning, and they were all mad for it. But great stuff.
There might be some more champagne there tomorrow, if you're lucky. This is the good thing about working in a building where there's lots of radio stations.
So, big day, actually, today. Up at 3:45, and so alcohol at 10, and here we are at the Palladium. So, it's a big day.
And are you on tomorrow morning as well?
I am, yeah. Actually, strange enough, I'll have to be there for our business breakfast, which starts at 6. I'll be in the building at 5:30.
How's life changed since moving building and having a new owner? Anything different?
Yeah, I think so, because Bauer seriously believed in the brand. They realised that our audience doesn't listen to any other commercial radio. So you buy that, you're buying a whole new audience. There's no overlap. So that's great. They can see that in 30 years, if it's survived 30 years, then there's something in it. Over this year, there are big plans for, shows. There's even going to be a drama going on. So we've got some big backing. We're enjoying it.
Have a good night tonight.
Thank you very much.
Here's Scott Mills. I think you're presenting the first award of the night tonight.
I believe so. No pressure. But yeah, it's all going to be good. I've actually hosted this once before, and it was it's terrifying because it's a room of your peers, and it's a room of people that you worked with before or you might work with again. So yeah, it's pressure, but luckily I'm only doing one award tonight.
And your friend Chris is nominated for a sports show, isn't he, with Peter Crouch. You're rooting for him tonight.
I really, really hope he wins that, you know, because they deserve it. They work so hard on that show, and a lot goes into it, and I think you can tell that, and the success of it has been phenomenal, so they deserve to win that.
And you kind of do a sports show now, don't you? Because I've heard you talking about football on a Saturday morning.
I mean, vaguely, I do a sports show, yes. The brief was entertainment rather than sport. But I think we're really finding our feet on that show, you know. I love it. But when it first happened, I was like, how am I going to fill 2 hours of with no music? It was really, like, scary to me. However, I've relaxed into it a little bit more now. It's taking time. But I really enjoy that side of it, because it, talk radio or speech radio is something I thought I would never do.
And like all those people before, you've done the same. So Nicky Campbell, right, who's gone from Radio 1 Simon to 5 Mayo. Live, Simon Mayo. Do you now consider yourself a broadcaster rather than a DJ? Where do you get to that point?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Love to hear it.
Thank
Have
you.
A good night, Scott. Thank you. Jeremy Vine is here. And the award you're presenting tonight, the award you're giving out, is in John Meyer's name, the local radio award.
It is. And John, I feel like I could feel his presence in the room. He would have been here tonight. He was a giant of radio. And you know, I mean that in every sense. A most beautiful man, a friend of the industry, a great entrepreneur, a great presenter. He had the lot. And the nice thing was, he would call me all the time and talk about the show I'd just done, or, you know, say, how's Sarah Cox doing? How's Zoe doing? He was so involved, and I miss him so much.
And Radio 2 nominated for Station of the Year tonight. It's been a tricky year for Radio 2, so to get that nomination is a good thing?
Oh, yeah. I think if we just stay at the crease and keep batting, It'll come back in our direction. I mean, basically, I'm amazed at how stable Radio 2's audience has been over such a period of change. And I'm talking the last decade. So yeah, it's not. I wouldn't say it's been a difficult year, but I just feel the vibe on the energy in the station now is the best it's ever been since I arrived. It's great. It feels great. So I'm loving every single day.
And the thing all journalists who work on the radio are talking about at the moment is Times Radio, which is coming soon.
Yeah.
You're the kind of caliber of person. Have you had a big money offer?
No, I mean, I haven't. Let me just check my answer phone.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Here's one of the early winners of the night. It's Miles Bonner from BBC Scotland, best news coverage and a real piece of journalism, and you got somebody put in prison from your work.
Yeah, it was a bit of a roller coaster, that story. You know, when you first put something out, you don't know if people are going to get behind it. And as soon as the police get involved, you feel like, right, well, what I did was right, and there's a reason why we did it, you know.
And it shows the power of journalism, because this guy was putting content on YouTube for a couple of years. You did a story about it, and then the police got involved.
Exactly, yeah. He was, you know, from 2016 he was doing it, so it was great to see that. From just a short video in the beginning, that we could grow into something that was a bit bigger for news, and then he got his comeuppance after all he did.
And how does it feel to pick up this award at the ARIAs tonight?
Oh, it's unreal. Like, to be honest, I was on Oxford Street in a boot camp when I was, you know, working on the Seduction Game with other pickup artists who I was pretending to be a pickup artist. Obviously, to be here getting an award for that journalism just feels amazing, so I'm delighted.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So the winners of Best Factual Series was Ladder to Nowhere, which is made by Whistledown. David's here from Whistledown, and Liza, it's your story. How is it to win an award for telling your story?
Absolutely fabulous, and I hope that it encourages others to also shed the shame and the bushel of shame that, you know, they carry.
And your story is quite extraordinary. Was it kind of heartbreaking to tell some parts of it?
It was a relief. It was a relief in that I had an opportunity, and I knew what I was doing all the way through, to share a story that I felt very few could relate to, from a crossing of boundaries that I'd encountered in my own life's journey, and the absolute agony of crossing those boundaries that I genuinely don't think many people could fathom. And it's not to suggest that we're so far removed from reality, from the working class or underclass, as you might put it, but even equipped with a good sound education, you're against incredible hurdles. It's a whirlwind of chaos.
And from, yeah, from the kind of gangland of Manchester in the 90s to the stage at the Palladium, that's...
It's phenomenal, you know, and it's really challenging for me to... I mean, if I was wording that again, what I would say is it's a privilege for me to accept this award with this amazing team on behalf of the people who have had the courage and the trust to come out once again and be authentically represented.
I've got to say, actually, about that, I'm Hugh Costello, the producer, that we met some incredibly brave people in Manchester who spoke very frankly about their own lives and their past and their experience with gang violence and various other social difficulties. Liza was an inspirational presenter, but those people were very, very brave and very upfront, and without them there would have been no series, would there, really?
And how do you come across stories like this as a production company making programs and telling people's stories? How do you find them?
You meet someone on a dark night in a bar. They buttonhole you in the corner. They tell you that they're what age they are, and you go, I don't believe you. They say they've got a daughter who's going to university, and suddenly a conversation opens because I said, you're not old enough to have a daughter at university. She said, oh yes, I was. I was pregnant at 13. And that was when the story began, because my jaw dropped, and the more she talked, the more we expanded that conversation and the story that she had, and the jaw dropped further and further and further. And it's that moment you know you have an extraordinary story that you have to tell. And we helped her to tell it. But it's her story.
Congratulations, guys. Enjoy your night.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Here are Lee and Laurie from TalkSport. We've just picked up the first big gold award of the night for 20 years of broadcasting, and in particular, celebrating some of the diversity on TalkSport in the last year. That must be really pleasing for you, Lee.
It's a bit of a surprise. We came with no expectation or anticipation ahead of the evening, but it's a very welcome award, one we're very proud of. We've done a lot of work this year with regards to reflecting our listenership modernising the sound of the station and adding extra talent to the station. I think we've talked about that earlier in the year when we did our interview, but this is a fantastic recognition of what we've achieved, and I'm very proud.
And Laurie, I think it's kind of celebrating the diversity of different sports as well that get on the air these days. It's not just about football at TalkSport, where perhaps the perception a few years ago was that it is.
Definitely. I mean, this year we did the Women's World Cup, and it was a real kind of big start for us in terms of changing what the perception was around TalkSport. And I'm really proud of all the producers and all the presenters that have their say and impact on what the programming is around the radio station. I'm a bit speechless, actually. I was not expecting this whatsoever. It's ridiculous.
We're not used to him being speechless.
And you've got, talking of your new talent, you've got one of your new talent here, Hugh, who's moved from Five Live. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, good.
How are you
good.
Finding life in the commercial sector?
I don't know about the commercial sector. All I really know about is TalkSport, and the welcome's been sensational in terms of the effort that the production team and the management of TalkSport have put into me in developing my talent. It's been sensational. I couldn't have asked for more in that regard. And the station as a whole, you know, I've listened to TalkSport before I came to the station. To hear it now and the difference, and to see that it's taking steps forward, is fantastic for me, knowing that I'm going to be there for a long time, hopefully, fingers crossed, as long as they like me.
There's the plug for a new contract. Well done, guys. Enjoy your night.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Lee Stoney's here from BBC WM clutching an award. Tell us what you've won and what it's for.
So this is a factual award, and it was really tricky because the room's so excited tonight. Everyone's having a great time. And this is, for me, a really important programme about a guy who died in freezing conditions in a really busy street in Birmingham. Shouldn't have happened, and we wanted to tell his story. And, you know, local radio has this ability to tell stories. People trust us with them. But, you know, that's hard to tell a room that's celebrating tonight. So it's a difficult one, but we wanted to tell the story well. Kane's family trusted us with his memories, and hopefully, you know, we did that justice, I hope.
Whereas the rest of the media were talking about his death and him dying on the streets, you wanted to do a different approach and tell his life story.
Exactly, because I think so often we walk past people on the streets and we all say we want to do something about it, and then we don't, you know. And so we were all saying, you know, we're all racked with guilt, but actually, who was this guy? Was he just another statistic? Well, he wasn't, you know. He had a sister who was mourning him. He'd tried to get his life back on track, and really powerfully his sister and some of his street friends had kept recordings of his voices, and of course in radio that's just really useful. So we brought him back to life in a way for the programme.
Fantastic. Congratulations, right. Lee. Well,
great.
Done.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So the winners of the Best Fictional Storytelling is Forest 404. I've got Becky and James here. And this is a bit of a strange programme, wasn't it? Because not just a series of 9 podcasts, but accompanying podcasts to go with them. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I kind of referred to it as my three-headed beast, because it was like 9 episodes of Thriller, but each one came with an accompanying talk, like a TED talk and a soundscape. So in total, that's for your mathematicians amongst you, 27 episodes. It was a bit of a mishmash of things, and it meant you could kind of pick and choose what you want whether you want fiction or talk or soundscape.
And taking us into the future to see what the forests are going to be like in, you know, a few centuries' time.
Yeah, totally. I mean, from mine and Tim's perspective, in terms of the kind of fiction of it, it was looking at what climate change may or may not look like in 200-300 years, and projecting that and looking at the migration that might happen amongst the human population and the species extinction that may or may not happen amongst the other populations that we live among. And it was a scary thing to research, but also like really important. And a way to kind of connect that theme with people who don't necessarily always engage with it right now.
And now you've got an award for it as well.
I know. Oh, I thought I was about to lift it up, but I'm not holding it.
No, Becky's got the award.
I'm so chuffed because it's been nominated for a lot, and actually finally it's won. And like, I was the editor, but I wasn't really important. It's like Becky has worked so hard on this. Like, I was supposed to say work like a dog, but that sounds a bit rude. But
like a dog.
Every hour God gave, you worked on this. And I know Tim worked so hard, and just like, I'm so pleased that it has won, because it's not only is it a brilliant piece of drama, but it's an important piece of drama. And it was a way of telling a story that was so important without it being kind of dull or catastrophic, that would grip an audience, bring them into a really important issue, and like held them, and millions of people listen to the story. And you hope, without saying, I'm just like a pompous ass now, it's like that it'll make people look at the trees. I always sound like a pompous ass. Like, you just like look at the trees and think about them differently. And if you listen to Forest 404, you can't not do that. And that's testament to the quality of the work.
Well then, guys, have a great night.
Thank you.
Best coverage and event supported by Radio Today has gone to Absolute Radio for your coverage of Mental Health Awareness Week. Paul Sylvester is a content director, a regular on the Radio Today program. Well done, Paul.
And thank you to Radio Today. It's lovely. It's a team award. They sent me up. I thought they were following. They really weren't following me on the stage. But it's lovely. And I think it's really important that we have these conversations on the radio. We were up against some incredible nominees. I was very happy. I've just been happy to come and watch Marisha Wallace sing. I'm not going to lie. I was just happy to come for that. But it's wonderful. And it's a testament to the team. And it's a testament to what radio can do in terms of having honest conversations.
And Bauer and Absolute this year have done a lot, or last year I should say, have done a lot around mental health. It wasn't just Mental Health Awareness Week.
No, absolutely. And suicide and depression is the biggest killer of men under 40 in the UK right now, and that is the Absolute Radio audience. And it's really important because it's a difficult to reach group, difficult to make them have the conversations. So actually, by asking our presenters to do that, then actually they were doing it themselves, and actually having those conversations empowered the listeners to do the same.
Enjoy the rest of your night, Paul.
Thank you, darling. Speak to you soon.
John Scott Dryden is with me, one of the co-creators of this year's Best Independent Podcast. Tell us about your podcast.
It's a thriller about a plane that goes missing between London and New York, and the sister of one of those passengers who doesn't believe the official line of what's happened to the plane, and goes on her own investigation to try and find out what happened.
And it's a very kind of in topic. A lot of TV shows have done this, perhaps not podcasts in the past, though.
Well, it's inspired by the Malaysian airline flight that disappeared. And for months in the news, there was a kind of mystery surrounding it. People got slightly obsessed with the story. And mostly it's inspired by the relatives who became very distrustful of the official investigation. And so it's essentially a story about the relatives and their refusal to let go of that hope that their loved one might still be alive.
And presumably you had some great audience reaction as well as the industry reaction that you've had getting an award.
Yeah, it was an independent podcast. We had a huge number of downloads. It was released by PRX Radiotopia in the US. It wouldn't have reached such a big audience without them, but the download figures are in the millions. It's extraordinary how well it did.
Fantastic, and congratulations on this award you're clutching.
Thank you very much. We're very surprised. We were up against some of my favourite podcasts, like My Dad Wrote a Porno. We didn't think we had a chance. It's a real endorsement of what we do. But they were all, you know, great podcasts. We're just very thrilled to be invited to the party.
Look, it's the award-winning Ellis and John. 5 years at Global, you leave 6 months, and then you get a Radio Academy Award. How does that happen?
Well, because Global boycott these awards, so we weren't previously eligible for them.
No, it was a rhetoric question.
Well, it's not, though, is it? Because it's a real-world question. It's so nice to be here with so many creative people who are doing such an incredible mix of things, you know, from the awards tonight. You've got comedy, you've got documentary, you've got people telling really important stories, and people making connections with their audience that I think is unique to radio and podcasts. People who have a relationship with their listeners that is unlike anything else. And that's why in a digital world, people feel a special relationship with the things they listen to. And I think it's weathered the digital age in such an incredible way whilst embracing new media.
And it's where I feel most comfortable. And I've been a radio listener since I was about 10. My mum and dad used to have the Radio Wales breakfast show on when I was on the school run in primary school. And now I work in the industry I love with my best friend, and our peers seemingly like what we do. So this is it's a huge moment. I'm very surprised. I didn't expect to win, genuinely. I hadn't prepared anything. So, yeah, this is it's a wonderful moment.
And I think it's fair to say, listening to your first few shows at Five Live, you were perhaps apprehensive because you wouldn't have the music to rely on in between the stuff that you were doing. And the reaction you got from the audience perhaps was a little bit disheartening. But you've overcome that, and 6 months in, the show is doing fantastic.
Well, it's just a new skill. And when we first did radio in commercial radio, that was a new skill. When you have to talk for 25 minutes or half an hour, whatever, you can't practice radio, which in a way with stand-up comedy, we're both stand-up comedians. We're used to being able to practice what we do before people hear it. With radio, you can't. So your first ever broadcast is your first go at it. But, you know, we found our feet, and it took time, and we won people over, and some people we didn't win over, and that's fine. Because when radio changes, it's much more dramatic to them than if TV changes. So no one texts BBC Two going, Life of Animals has finished, and I'm really angry about what you've replaced it with, because they understand that's the nature of TV. Whereas with radio, it's a bit like going, oh, you can't talk to your best friend anymore, and there's a new best friend who you've never met. And without exception, the naysayers and doubting Thomases, and this is the great thing about radio, will be the ones that when Ellis and I eventually leave or get sacked or whatever, will be the ones going, bring back Ellis and John, because it just takes a while to get into their routine.
I also understand it, because like all radio listeners, I'm incredibly habitual with my listening habits. So when things change, I don't like it. And I understand that for the first year, you are a brand new show and people have to get used to you. And I think we are winning people over, and I'm very proud of what we've achieved. So I'm just delighted. I thought I was going to be much cooler about it than I am, but I'm thrilled, so I'm very pleased.
And finally, I suppose the move to Five Live has enabled you to do more, and you've done another podcast, the How Do You Cope podcast, which has been perhaps quite different from some of the comedy and things that you've done, quite a serious subject sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be sort of part of a broader family. It's nice to be able to not only do stuff like How Do You Cope, but be able to chat to Jimmy Anderson every so often.
Or Ellie Oldroyd.
I went to Lords and I got to meet Ellie Oldroyd. I got to meet Jonathan Agnew. It's nice.
We put 10-pin bowling on the radio, well, on a podcast, and they said it couldn't happen. And I think it probably shouldn't ever again.
And that's the sort of social upside of the massive cut we've taken in ad revenue.
But you've got an award, and that's what matters. So well done, guys. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you.
Phil McGuire is here from the Prison Radio Association. Best Community Programming, another Radio Academy Award for Prison Radio.
Yeah, it's great. We love it. We brought a load of people here. We brought 25 people.
I heard them in the background of my last interview.
We had 3 nominations. We got nothing in the first one and the first two. But the important one for us was community programming for National Prison Radio. And we won it. And it was amazing to get up there. And I think I said a few words. And I said something on stage which nobody's ever said in an award ceremony before, which was, thank you to the Ministry of Justice. Because if it wasn't for the civil servants, the work of the Ministry of Justice, who've believed in what we do, then we wouldn't be where we are. So an incredible night, an incredible bit of radio. You know about the radio industry. I know about the radio industry. We're all here to celebrate the radio industry. And what we do is a unique bit, a unique corner of the radio industry that transforms people's lives who are in prison. And to be recognised tonight is incredible. And it's a marvellous achievement for me, for my team, for everybody who's listening. I'm going to take this audio and I'm going to broadcast it on National Prison Radio. So to everyone who's listening to this on National Prison Radio, this is for you. Congratulations.
Fantastic. And we all know in the industry the power of radio to change lives and transform lives, both in terms of people getting involved in presenting and listeners. And we've seen some of those stories this week of the power of local radio. But this is absolutely at the sharp end of changing lives.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to say that their audience is the heart of what they do. Our whole production methodology is based around putting our audience at the very, very centre of what we do. So our presenters are people that live in prison, better known as inmates, but we, people that live in prison. Our presenters are people that live in prison. Our producers are people that live in prison, working alongside professional producers who, every step, side by side, hand in hand, they make programmes together. The quality is fantastic and it resonates with the audience.
Congratulations, really well done.
Thank you very much.
Another gold special award has been presented, and this time to the birthday station, Jazz FM 30 today. Here's Jamie Crick, the afternoon show presenter. There's a big celebration going on.
We've had such a celebratory day because we've had cake for a start-up, but also so many artists who have been part of the story of Jazz FM. So some of the clips we've been running throughout the day are people like Ella Fitzgerald, who was there on day one. She was, the first night concert that we did, but also Johnny Dankworth and Cleo Lane. Jackie Dankworth, their daughter, came in to see me this afternoon. And I really felt that today was about celebrating what Jazz FM has done for UK music in terms of how we enjoy the likes of Ashley Henry, Zara McFarlane, who came in to see me today. All of these young British artists, and if you didn't have Jazz FM, they possibly wouldn't have been the artists they are today, because we've tried to make them so much part of what we do.
And it is such an iconic brand that it has survived for all this time in 30 years.
I think it has, but I also think when you, and again, paying tribute to the people who have helped to build the recognition of jazz in the country, undoubtedly Jazz FM has been there as part of that. But you need those people who really have gone out there and using Jazz FM and being part of it, partnering, if you like, that we've managed to keep jazz and soul and blues alive in the UK. And now you see we're doing Love Supreme this year with, thousands of people coming along to that event. We got the Jazz FM Awards now in, I got to meet the Rolling Stones at the Jazz FM Awards. And I really wouldn't have washed this hand, but coronavirus. But no, seriously, I think it's a really interesting station because it's been part of the cultural makeup of the UK and embedded itself in who we are as a nation, and also supported those artists. And it's a South London soul boy who used to listen to the pirate stations years ago. Don't tell anyone. I found myself, here with all of my heroes in radio, who, like Peter Young, who sadly left us recently, but Jeff Young and all those people who were involved in making sure this music is so special. So tonight, to win that award and to celebrate our 30th birthday, it's been really, really special.
More award winners still to come here on the Radio Today programme at the ARIAS 2020. We've got TalkSport's Jim White, Talk Radio's Ian Lee, Sarah Cox and Ryland from Radio 2, and Speech Radio Presenter of the Year, Emma Barnett from 5 Live, all on the way. First, a quick reminder about CleanFeed. It's a great tech solution that might be able to help you out with your outside broadcast, or maybe a co-presenter for your show who can't get into the station, or maybe a podcast that connects people from different places. It's really simple to use. You can even record your guests right within the web browser. No fancy hardware required. Give CleanFeed a go today and see what the quality is like for yourself. As a completely free version, or you can upgrade to the paid version for extra features. All the details at cleanfeed.net.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.
Best Specialist Music Show at the ARIAS 2020 has gone to This Classical Life from Radio 3. Jess Gillam, the youngest ever presenter on Radio 3 as well, I think you are. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And you've won lots of awards in your time for your music. You're a saxophonist like me, grade 8 sax, me. And I've seen you live before and you are absolutely fantastic. But you've made this transition to broadcasting. How's it been?
It's been amazing, and I definitely couldn't have done it without Andy and Martin and Jessica and the whole team. It's just been, I mean, I love to communicate, and that's what I'm trying to do with music, and broadcasting has just been another sort of vehicle to be able to reach people and to do that, so it's been amazing.
And you've been doing some things for Radio 4 as well, I think.
Yes, I just interviewed Gaylan Dorsey for Radio 4, but I mean, this is where it started with the BBC Your Musician podcast with Radio 3 and This Classical Life, so it's been, yeah.
And This Classical Life is Saturday lunchtimes. Tell us about it if people haven't heard it before. What do you do on the programme?
It's a half an hour show, and I have a different guest every week, usually a young musician, and we just play each other the music that we love, and we talk about why it's important in our lives, why we love it, a bit about the history, but it's generally just people conversing about great music, and it's everything from David Bowie to Bach to Beethoven. It's music is music. So
there's this drive in the radio industry to get younger listeners, and obviously younger presenters helps with that. I know you were kind of a superstar as a teenager through BBC Young Musician of the Year. How important is it that people your age are tuning into stations like Radio 3 and getting into classical music and jazz and arts?
I think it's absolutely integral, because as our education system sort of fails us further and further in the arts, I think places like Radio 3 are absolutely essential. So it's we're aiming for a younger audience, definitely, but also a universal audience. It's for everyone, and music is for everyone, and that's the amazing thing about it.
Really well done. Congratulations,
Jess. Thanks so much. Thank you.
I'm very good. Stuart, yourself?
I'm not too bad.
Come in on this one, please. It's Radio Today. It's very important.
Here's the best music presenter. It's Mr. Jam. Again, you won this a few years ago.
I did. I won this a few years ago. My kids play with the award. It's yeah. So this is a nice one, because my kids play with the other one, it's got a dent in it. Whereas this is just nice and fresh and great. But, you know, this award isn't just for me, really. I've got my producer, Carleen, next to me. And it's because of her that I've been able to do what I've done over the last 3 years. She's just literally the best producer I could ever wish for.
But you've got a great talent as well to work with.
Honestly, he's amazing. And the stuff we've done in the past couple of years has been great. Jam is great at pulling out things that I didn't know I could do, and pushing us to a new boundaries. And it's been so much fun, and to just genuinely do something that we love and that the listeners are enjoying every single day is perfect. I can't ask more, so I'm so glad we won.
15 years this year, I think, at One Extra, isn't it?
Yeah, 15 years at One Extra. I started in September 2005. Before that, I was kind of trying to blag my way through doing whatever it was possible, working at a credit card company.
A bit of acting on the telly.
Acting on the TV. In terms of radio, I used to have a show on pirate radio. So yes, I used to break the law, but hey, that's what I had to do. Managed to blag my way onto student radio, even though I've never been a student. So yeah, being able to kind of get the opportunity 15 years ago to be able to join the One Extra family, it completely changed my life. And I don't see that happening for enough people like me that come from the backgrounds like me. So I'm really hoping that, you know, the fact that I've been able to win two of these now proves that if you broaden where you can look for talent, I think that you're going to find some amazing winners. Back the winners.
And it's all the nominations. I think you've won bronze in this category a couple of times as well.
You know, a few years ago when it was the Sonys, I think that when it was the Zane Lowe Award, I got a few bronzes and a silver.
It's good now he's out of the way, isn't it?
Not at all. He's an amazing broadcaster. I love to listen to his shows on Beats One, because I have to say that, because he's a friend.
Jim White from TalkSport, you've just won Best Commercial Promotion. Less commercial, more kind of charity programming, because this is work that you did with the Samaritans.
Yes, indeed, it was. TalkSport take this very seriously, and we were delighted to get involved with it with Gary Bloom, who of course is the resident gentleman in that area at TalkSport, and Laurie Palacio, who's standing with me here tonight. We spoke long and hard about how this should be handled. Leon McKenzie came in one day and spoke very openly and honestly about what had happened to him in the past and how he was helping other people to day on a very regular basis. People who had got themselves into difficulty in their life, people who had hit desperation in some cases. And we took calls that day. Gary was with me in studio, and it was unbelievable, because normally we talk about players, we talk about owners, we talk about managers, you know, Mourinho, Klopp, etc., etc. That went out the window that day, and we focused on people with problems in conjunction with the Samaritans. And we went in another direction altogether. And as a result of that and Gary's specialised work, we produced something very special, something we're very, very proud of yet.
And these are things that men generally don't want to talk about, certainly not on the radio normally.
That's why it's so brilliant to have a slot on Talk Sport, because the men most at risk of suicide are aged 50 to 24, which is a huge part of the Talk Sport audience. I'm so proud to be part of Talk Sport's ongoing campaign to look after the mental health of men, because we're not doing enough. And remember, as we say at the end of every Sporting Couch edition, there's no such thing as good health without good mental health.
Congratulations on the award, guys. Really well done.
Thank you.
Thanks. Clutching the Best Sports Show Award is Stefan from BBC Radio Wales. Wow, is that a bit of a shock for winning that tonight?
Peter Crouch was nominated, which is like the biggest podcast. Greg with Tailenders was nominated. Almost all of Talk Sport were nominated. I think I was the only one on this I've not heard of, or I don't listen to. That's mad. I can't. Been nominated before, like maybe 15 years ago, and then a couple of years ago with another documentary I made. But I don't know. You never think you're going to win because you see everybody else's names and you go, "No, I like that. That's really good." But somebody else has listened to this and gone, "I like that. That's going to win." That's mad.
Geraint Thomas winning the tour was massive for your audience in Wales, obviously.
Geraint is, I think, the nicest sports person I've ever met. A lot of people get affected by success. Geraint's got 2 gold medals at the Olympics. He's won the Tour de France. And he lives, I'm just trying to think, about 4 streets away from my house. Because Cardiff's just one of those places. If I see him in the park, he'll come over and talk to my kids. Not because I'm on the radio, but because I know him. And he's one of those blokes who, if you know him, he's just a lovely, lovely man. And I think that maybe I'm biased, but maybe being Welsh kind of brings that out in people. There's that sort of locality. I think you get it if you're from Yorkshire, if you're from, I don't know, the West Midlands, Cornwall, Scotland, Northern Ireland. You've got that thing that maybe just makes it feel more important. You see the crowds that were out when Geraint won the tour, like he did a homecoming. And normally you see that for like a World Cup winning football squad in England, whenever that happens. Sorry. But
it's happened more than it has for Wales, to be fair.
Man! Marathon. But you see it for that sort of thing. But there were thousands of people out on the streets in Cardiff for a guy who's won a bike race at the end of the day. That's not mass population sport. But watching my kids watch him just kind of made me think, there's something here. There's something in this that's a story beyond just, you know, Brad winning it was amazing, Froomey winning it was amazing, even Bernal winning it, because it's part of a British team, was fantastic. But Gare winning it for us was just, yeah, meant something different.
And presumably there's a brand new awards cupboard to put this award in when you get back to Radio Wales soon, because
it's been a
big year for you this year. You've got a new building to move into as well.
Absolutely.
Shiny.
Absolutely. It's a shiny, beautiful new building outside the train station. I'm waiting for a phone call to steal this off me. I'm going to try and keep it in my kitchen, but I don't think that's going to happen, man. I think this is going to be somewhere front and centre. That's nuts. That's just weird.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you, mate.
John Milne is here from Tay FM. A special award, some recognition for 40 years of Tay FM. Wow.
Unbelievable. Special moment, I think. I said on stage, I was kind of lost for words, dry mouth. I said I was in row Z, seat 99. Didn't expect anything tonight. I mean, amazing for the station, 40 years. I've been there for most of my life, my working life, 22 years this year. I think it's just about the people that are there, the love they have for the station, the love they have for the area. At Tayside and Fife is an amazing place. Dundee at the minute is very popular. It's become very cool. I think the thing for us is what we liked Dundee before it became very cool, you know. So I think it's all about the team there. It's about the spirit. People have a love for the area, they have a love for the station, and we've mentioned it a few times in the past at awards. We have the motto of a wee team, big dream, and that's exactly what it is. It's the best way to describe the team there. So absolutely honoured for the 40 years, and hopefully 40 more.
Absolutely. And where's this award going to go? Have you got a big awards cupboard back in Dundee?
We do. So we were back at the Arias in 2018. We picked up the silver for the local show award for Wake Up with Webster. So it'll take pride of place in there. We picked up a Bauer Award last year as well for Station of the Year. So yeah, it's going to take pride of place in the glass cabinet at Tay Towers in Tay territory, as was mentioned.
Let's get it back in one piece. Well done.
Thank
Congratulations,
you so much.
John.
Thank you.
Best Speech Breakfast Show has gone to Toby Foster. He's not here, but Kat Harbon is from Radio Sheffield, from The Breakfast Show. What do you think Toby will say about winning this against some big national presenters?
I know exactly what he will say. He will say he is just doing his job, because every single day we speak to people from South Yorkshire and North Derbyshire who are brilliant, who are just living their lives as we all do. We just go about our day-to-day life, get up, put the kettle on, put the radio on, and he gets up and he's just with everybody else. So I know that he will be absolutely thrilled to win this, but I know that he will also say, well, it's just what I do.
And he's been on Radio Sheffield a long time now. He's kind of part of the furniture. He replaced Tony Capstick, I think, didn't he, like 18 years ago. He's almost like the new Tony Capstick.
Well, I wouldn't like to be the one to say that, but no, he's part of the furniture for a good reason. He is hilarious. He is compassionate. He will pin people up against the wall if they need to. And I am there for that, because I think that's what we need. We need somebody who lives in the area, holding people who should be held to account from that local area. And that's exactly what Toby does.
And great to see BBC Local Radio winning gold and silver in this category as well. Just shot in the arm, isn't it?
Absolutely, of course. But why wouldn't we? This is the thing. There's no such thing as national radio is bigger than local radio, because people who work in radio are passionate, and people who work for radio love who they work for and what they do, and that's why they do what they do. And I absolutely believe that every single time my alarm goes off very early every morning, it's because I love it. It's because we are doing something important, and it's something that we all believe we should be doing. So I know that I am thrilled, and I know that Toby will be thrilled that we've won this award.
Emma Barnett has just won Best Speech Presenter, and she looks very giddy. How's that?
I'm not allowed to be giddy on my show half the time. I mean, I can, but, you know, doing quite serious news. It's a wonderful feeling. It's the best job, and I'm really... I just didn't think this would be mine tonight. I had very stiff competition. All the lads. I was up against all the lads. And they have really unique shows. So I'm thrilled. And speechless as speech presenter. Yeah. That's not very good, is it?
But 2019 was an amazing year for news and for your show. And that's why you've won this, clearly.
I think, yeah, there was a lot of momentum. But also there were still a lot of stories that I think we get from our listeners that punctuate that as well, which is really important. And Five Live's really unique at the BBC. It's a real presenters network, you know. It's huge team effort, don't get me wrong, but you also have a lot of autonomy. And I think if you are allowed to be yourself, that is a big part of being a speech presenter.
And obviously your editor has just left. He starts his new job tomorrow, he told me.
Said that, but then I always say the things I'm not meant to say, and hence why hopefully I have an award for that. As a child, I just got in trouble.
And Tim, obviously going to Times Radio, that's another competitor for you and your show. You're already up against James O'Brien. Are you kind of worried about Times at all?
Not one bit. I'll be fine.
Yeah, I think you won the Newcomer Award at the Arkivas when you were doing stuff on LBC about 8 years ago. But is this your first ARIA?
We've won
for
a show.
Oh, the show won 2 years ago.
But it's my first personal one. And I am... I'm in love with that. I'm just going to carry that around like a little beatbox on my shoulder.
You know Heidi's going to want to put it in the cabinet.
No, no, no. No cabinet. I'm an only child. I don't share. I'll let everyone touch it.
Congratulations,
Thank
Emma.
You so much.
Lewis Carney's here from Radio 2. Station of the Year as you bow out.
Yes, it's great. I mean, that's a really been a terrific night for us to get this, because it really does sort of ratify all the changes we made last year. They finally all bedded in. It's just been such an exciting time, and it's just a huge honour.
And you had a lot of bad press, you had a lot of tough things going on, and so to win this award, now the audience is picking up again.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it, because every station, as you know, has got to evolve, and every time you evolve, radio is such a personal thing. People take any kind of change so personally, it's so difficult to move them with you, but this makes it all worthwhile.
And what's been the highlight of the last year? Obviously, you've done some big things. You've done 500 words and Hyde Park and so many things.
Yeah, well, I think really last year, I mean, Ryland doing his karaoke for Children in Need was a real highlight, you know, where he raised over £1 million in 24 hours. There's just so many highlights. It's just so constant because we're constantly doing new and hopefully creative things that are what the audience want.
And what are you going to miss day to day most when you walk out of Wogan House?
Well, I'm not sure, actually, to be honest. Corporate meetings.
And the biscuits.
I'm not going to miss.
Well done, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Rylan and I would like to announce our engagement.
Yes, we are very happy. You two on the way.
We thought...
This was an exclusive, I wasn't expecting.
Tonight, we thought we'd Radio 2 Station of the Year, yeah. And me and Rylan... No, that bit's not true.
Yeah, the other part's fake, but the fact that Radio 2 has won Station of the Year, we are so grateful.
There was a lot of whooping and hollering going on there, and what a year it has been. A lot of change, especially for you, Sarah, starting your new show.
It's been fantastic. I mean, how long have you been on the station for, Ryan?
A year and two weeks.
I think it's no coincidence that a year since he came on board, we've got Station of the Year, just
saying.
What
can I say? These teeth are fluttering away.
No, I mean, it's been an incredible year. A lot of change. Zoe's doing a great job.
Amazing.
On breakfast. I'm loving my tea time. We are just two shiny little cogs in a great, big, fantastic machine that we're so proud to be part of. It's just a wonderful station. Everybody loves music. We love our listeners. We couldn't do any of it without the listeners because, well, basically, they provide all my material.
Pretty much, yeah.
But
that sentiment.
We're chuffed, aren't we, Rylan?
No, we're over the moon. And do you know what? It's so nice to be able to work on a station that you get to actually play what you want to play. And it's music, really, that people want to listen to. So there's a few weirdos like me and Sarah out there that like the music we play, and... It's echoed tonight, and the fact that this was voted for by the public, I think, means a lot more to us as well.
And you're going to be getting a new boss, so, you know, now's your chance. Who would you like? What's your dream boss? Who is it?
Lisa Tarbuck.
Yes, she'd be good. Can I have Jill and all? He doesn't know much about radio, but I'd be, like, really happy to go and see the boss, yeah.
The boss has called you to the office.
Yeah, did you need me, boss? No? Okay. I'll be over there, fine.
And are you going to get to touch this award that you've won? Do you think you get anywhere near
we've
it?
We've already had a finger.
Yeah, we've had a little...
The anti-back wipes are out. The hand gel, Corona Central, but, you know, it was worth it.
Yeah, it was worth it to just touch that little... a cuboid of perspex?
It was very girthy.
yeah, we all paused with it and jumped about a bit, didn't we?
Get to the bar, have a good night.
We're going to.
Thanks, guys, congratulations.
Thank you.
Here's Ian Lee, second Aria now. You won one a couple of years ago for Speech Presenter, but this, voted for by listeners, must be important.
It's voted for by actual real people. It's incredible. And we were up against some some great radio moments. It's a thrill. It feels very odd accepting an award for, you know, considering the phone call was a man who was at his lowest, most painful ebb. But Catherine and I have kind of got our head around it that the award is for the environment we've created where people feel safe to call up in that. We're not in any way celebrating, you know, what that man was going through. It's the fact that we have made a radio show where people feel confident talking about that stuff, isn't it, would you say, Catherine?
Yeah. I think it's really special, the fact that we're on at that time of night when worries can be compounded and people can really need someone to talk to. When your friends aren't picking up, it's a real honour, the fact that we're the next thought, you know? So it's just such a thrill that this has been recognised.
And doing a show like you do on that night, you don't know what that caller's going to come on and say. You know, just before Christmas 2018, what was your first reaction when you heard him talking about what he was talking about?
I thought he was drunk. We get, you know, doing a late night show, you get a lot of drunk people phoning up. So if I remember correctly, I've not listened back, because it's quite upsetting, but if I remember correctly, the first few minutes, we're gently mocking him. Not in a mean way, but it's like, here we go, we got another drunk guy. Then when he says, no, actually, I've taken an overdose, Kath, who's in the studio with me, gets up, goes out and starts dialing 999. I'm thinking, do we keep him on? I didn't want to take him off air. I didn't want to lose 20 seconds with him in case he put the phone down. So, yeah, 2-3 minutes into it, once we realised it was real... I don't even know how I was feeling.
I remember there was a look between us that was, right, I think I know what we need to do now. And I left and got on the phone and was gently sort of coaxing you to ask certain things. We tried to find out what he was wearing, where he was. We could hear people passing by, couldn't we? That was the thing. And he's... he was fading in and out of consciousness. That was the tricky part.
There were 5 minutes when he stopped talking and I thought he was dead, which was horrendous. Then he started talking again after 5 minutes and I just... And then the police came and took the phone and said, we've got him now, thanks. And I just burst into tears because I've been where he was. I never took the overdose, but I'd been living in a flat and had looked at where I could hang a noose. That's not me being flippant. I genuinely had checked that out. I mean, I don't know what to say. It was humbling that someone at their lowest ebb would think to phone us.
And it's been quite an eventful few years at Talk Radio. It's getting exciting in your building. New radio stations launching every week.
Is it exciting? I'd like a 12-month contract. That would be exciting. You know, I don't know. No one knows what's going on. And, you know, we've been very lucky that I've been there 4 years, longest job I've ever had, ever. And we have been given so much freedom to play around and mess around. And the whole show isn't just, you know, press people falling up. We do nonsense. It's mainly nonsense. And we've had so much freedom. I would like to carry on. I would like to carry on with Catherine. I don't know if that's happening.
Uncertain times. And Matthew Wright was saying earlier on he's got a contract to the end of the month and after that he doesn't know.
I'm there till the end of June.
Yeah, that's my kitchen.
Then, you know, that's kind of the nature of the business. You know, but radio is always very, very uncertain and it's down to numbers. But we're getting the numbers. We are getting the awards. But we don't know what's happening in the summer and I would really like to know.
Congratulations on the award, Ian. Well done.
Thank you.
This Week in History, Radio Moments.
This week in 1967, heads were being scratched over what to call the BBC's realigned radio networks. Radio Elizabeth had been touted as a possible name for the new pop service, but then maybe Radio 247.
247. Here's news. Starting in September, the BBC begins a new service for fans of popular music. There'll be light. And then there's pop.
With Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
And then there's always... excuse me. This is how Radio 247 will work.
But then by March 1967, junior BBC staff, I quote there from the press report, were suggesting the names Radio 1 and Radio 2 would lend more up-to-date appeal, with the light programme becoming Radio 1 and the new pop service Radio 2. And as for the home service becoming Radio 4, many thought that name was the ultimate demotion for the nation's flagship news service. Life could have been so very different had the numbers been another way round.
Music smooth and sweet here on Radio 2.
18 years ago this week, at last, another music station was added to that BBC network portfolio.
Now, there's a new kind of music station.
The first BBC music station in 32 years.
This isn't just music. This is Six Music.
From the BBC.
Good morning, it's Monday, the 11th of March 2002, and you're listening to Six Music from the BBC. My name is Phil Jupitus. I'll be your host for the next year. How are you doing? As you probably know, we've been having something of a vote on the internet for the first record to be played on Six Music. And you're probably wondering, Phil, who's won?
And you can hear more of that launch on the internet. Six Music beginning this week in 2002, drawing, it was said, on the huge BBC archives of concerts and music interviews to explore music from the 70s to the 90s. It was nearly closed in 2010, but then reprieved. Over a quarter of us now listen at least monthly to live radio via a smartphone or tablet. But it was this week, 15 years ago, that it all really began in the UK. The original Virgin Radio became the first station to enable anyone, anywhere to listen, simply with the phone in their pocket. James Cridland remembers.
So the Virgin Radio 3G tuner came about when a company from Singapore contacted me out of the blue and said, hey, we've got this technology and we think you might be interested in it. And we launched this thing, didn't really know what to call it, didn't know whether it should be called a 3G app or a 3G tuner. So we ended up with a 3G tuner. It didn't actually just work with 3G, it worked on old-fashioned GPRS phones as well. The stream that it was connected to was 8K, so you can imagine how great that must have sounded. But it ran on a couple of Nokia phones and a couple of Sony Ericsson phones. and there was a very complicated way that you had to download and install it. But it ended up working fairly well. One of the difficulties with it was that phones didn't have Wi-Fi on them, so you had to use your cellular data. And mobile data at that point was really expensive, like really expensive.
James Gridland. And don't forget to sign up to James's excellent daily Pod News email. Right, it's 1976. We're just about to have a wonderful sunshine summer. And everyone's getting very excited in Reading.
Hello and good morning, Thames Valley. This is Paul Hollingdale saying welcome to Radio 210. And on behalf of all of us here at our studios in Calcot, Reading, it's my pleasure to greet you on this, our first day of transmission, as local independent radio reaches everyone in the Reading and Thames Valley area.
Basically, what we've got to do is provide information, education and entertainment to as many people as possible. We want to appeal to most of the people, most of the time. We're not a minority radio station.
Good evening and welcome to 210's arts magazine, Spotlight. Presented this evening by Bob Morrison.
The radio station was housed in what had been the Civil Defence Headquarters for Berkshire. Presumably in the event of a nuclear war, this odd building on the very edge of Reading would have been the nerve centre. And built on to the house, which had become the headquarters, were slightly ramshackle studios, though obviously done to a very high technical standard because of the IBA's requirements. I suppose it felt a bit like going into a slightly run-down, out-of-town hotel.
Former MD, later regulator Tony Stoller, reflecting on Radio 210 launching in Reading this week in 76. The station stuck with its AM wavelength as its 210 name for 33 years, even when it was no longer on 210 FM. Round the Horn was a famous BBC radio comedy programme, even voted the BBC's third best radio show of any genre and the best radio comedy series of all time in a Radio Times poll. The show was on Sunday afternoons. It was a saucy blend of innuendo, camp comedy, wordplay. Barry Took and Marty Feldman created it. It starred Kenneth Horne, supported by the likes of Kenneth Williams. It began on the BBC Light programme this week, 55 years ago.
We in the entertainment business have every cause to be grateful to the backroom boys of the BBC, especially those unsung heroes of the wardrobe and makeup department. And recently, I was appearing on BBC television, and before I went on, I popped into the wardrobe department. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sandy. Yes. Yes, you see, look, it's crocheted on our smocks. The actual name, you see. Are you one of the Daleks from Doctor Who? Oh, no.
So I popped into a bookshop in the King's Road. It was called Boner Books. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello,
daring content for the time, criticised by some people, but the DGs stood by it. Round the Horn launched its original three-year run this week in 65. It was said to attract audiences of over 15 million, one of the most influential programmes in radio history. So, with the final DLT show on Classic Gold 18 years ago...
This is Classic Gold, the place where we play you the songs that you can sing along to, and indeed you do, because you don't know this, but we have feedback. It's automatic here in the studio.
Les Ross leaving BRMB Breakfast to present over on AM 31 years ago.
And I went to Mike Owen, who was the programme controller then. And I think I said, oh, Mike, I'd like to be on Extra AM. What?
The death of Capital LBC and the BBC's Adrian Love 21 years ago.
Nightline. We are going to open the lines because talking to Tom about kids, I suddenly realised that quite a few kids listen.
A new spin-off from Southern Radio on AM 29 years ago.
Light and easy, South Coast Radio.
The BBC making the first broadcast from New Broadcasting House 8 years ago.
The World Services London base may be changing, but the BBC's commitment to serve our audiences around the world remains as strong as it's ever been.
Michael Parkinson hosting his final Desert Island Discs 32 years ago.
Brendan Foster, thank you very much indeed.
The death of the BBC's first chief engineer, Peter Eckersley, 57 years ago.
Hello, CQ. Hello, CQ. This is 2M Attack calling.
And the first episode of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on Radio 4, 42 years ago.
It has, however, very little to say about the abduction of people by the remote reprogramming of teleportation coordinates to bring them to a cathedral of hate.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and all my guests at the ARIAS 2020. Roy is back next week, and we will be talking about other stuff that's been going on in the radio industry. Join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.